Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
From an undisclosed broadcasting location.
This is a test. For the next 60 seconds, this station will conduct a test of the emergency broadcast system.
America, here comes the relief from the pain. Unapologetically, this is Lock and Load with Bill Frady.
Hour number three. This is Lock and Load, and joining me now is the very seasoned writer with got to be over 5,000. Altogether, is it 5,000 plus articles now?
I don't think it's quite that many. I think it's a little under 4,000 together.
Only.
We're getting pretty close to 2,300 on Amazon.
Almost 2,300 on Amazon.
Yeah, we're a few short, but yeah. It won't be very long, a couple weeks maybe.
Anyway, joining me again is Dean Weingarten. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Bill.
So we're going to rehash a couple of things just because it's fun to do. Because I always like to talk about the bear stuff. And today's bear stuff, we're going to talk about a compilation that you put out there against 170 documented cases of defense against bears.
Right. And what I want to emphasize here is we do not exclude cases. And when I say we, my brother and some other colleagues have done extensive research to find every case that we can that we can document. There's a time and a place and a person involved and some kind of account of what actually happened where a pistol, a handgun, was fired in defense against a bear. And unlike researchers which have looked at, particularly I'm thinking of Tom Smith and Stephen Herrero, which did research on efficacy of handguns in defense against bears, and I've probably butchered that title slightly, but it's pretty close, in Alaska. And they also did efficacy of a bear spray. They did not include every instance. They picked which instances they thought were appropriate. So there's a lot of subjective judgment when you decide, well, I'll look at this instance, but I won't take that instance. But we don't do that. Every case we can find that has a handgun or a pistol fired in defense against a bear, we include. And I think that is a better way to do away with selection bias in the process. And one of the big problems with any kind of research in a field like this is selection bias. You know, who decides what case to include and what case to exclude? And there was a study done in Alaska where they looked at the data in the Defense of Life and Property reports, and I think that was published around 1997. And they had several hundred instances, and they came out with the conclusion that firearms, and they were not differentiating between handguns and long guns, but that firearms, the incident was concluded with the bear being driven off or killed with firearms in something like 96% of the cases without a human injury. Well, that's pretty close to what we see in this 170 cases that we found that the handguns are effective, that the bear leaves or the attack is stopped or the bear is killed 98% of the time. when handguns are fired in defense against bear. Now, all of those 170 cases that we have had at the time this article was published, I think there's 146 that were only handguns. So if there's more than a handgun involved, like in one case we had the bear was hit by a car and then a police officer fired a handgun when the bear came at him, we don't include that as in the statistics about the effectiveness of handguns because there's more than the handgun involved. And there have been several other cases where we call them combination cases. A handgun was fired, but maybe a rifle was fired, or a bow was fired, or a crossbow was fired. So where more than one lethal instrument was used, we don't include those in the statistics because how do you separate out which one was more effective? So we end up with 146 incidents for the handgun only, and of those, we found three cases where using the handgun, firing the handgun, failed to stop the attack. So that's not very many. That comes up to a 98% effective ratio. And we found that there are many different calibers were used. The caliber doesn't seem to be super important. Now, I would, obviously, if you use a caliber that can't reach the bear's vitals, the potential of failure is more there. But on the other side of this, just about anything making a loud noise seems to have some effect on stopping a bear attack or causing them to go away. I think we had about 16 cases where it looked as if warning shot stopped the attack. You know, the bear was probably never hit. And we also have a few cases where a 22 long rifle was used, 22 rimfire handgun, and bear attacks were stopped. We had several cases where black bears were killed, and we had one case where a grizzly bear was killed. And then there's one failure where a polar bear was shot with a 22 pistol as it attacked several humans, and one of the humans was killed, and another was mauled, and the pistol fire did not stop the attack. So that's one of the three failures. But a lot of people, I think, would look at using a 22 pistol against a polar bear and say, well, you know, if I were to take a gun specifically to guard against polar bear attack, it probably wouldn't be a 22 pistol. So that's what we have seen. It's very rare that handguns are used to defend against bear and they fail. Now, we don't include cases where the handgun was never fired because access problems to a defensive tool such as a handgun, a belt knife, bear spray, just about anything that's a defensive tool, getting to it and accessing it has similar problems. Handguns probably work about the best because they're easily carried in holsters, and handguns and holsters have gone through a long evolution over the last, 150 years or so, where we found out what works and what doesn't, how you secure a handgun, how you're able to draw it quickly and effectively. The handguns themselves, the trigger systems, the grips have all been improved on and modified and experimented with. And so we now have systems that you can reliably, someone without a lot of practice, with just some practice, can reliably draw a handgun and fire a couple of shots in under 2 seconds.
Hang on for me. I was too busy lost in the description. Sure. Talking to Dean Winegun, we'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Garand Tactical Innovations is the ultimate one-stop shop for all your competition, law enforcement, and military needs. Home of the weapons of WIP. Now featuring the new Pit Viper. Terran is the one who trained the one, and he is Hollywood's go-to for taking the weapons and training to the next level. His legacy of championship wins, spanning across decades, is due to his uncompromising dedication to perfection. These innovations are now offered to you at TerranTactical.com.
At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
All right, welcome back. Talking to Dean Weingarten. This is Lock and Load. Talking about this compilation that he's done as he's looking at these various cases and everything that's been happening with bears and handguns. So I had to interrupt you, so please, if you would.
Sure. Well, we were saying that I was saying that if the handgun is never fired, we don't count it in the statistics. And frankly, we come across very few cases where the handgun is never fired. I just don't see many of them. And the reason, of course, is they probably don't make the news. I would suspect that if you had cases where a bear attacked someone and the handgun was not fired, it will make the news. And we have at least one case of that. And that was a famous case in Montana where Mark Uptain, I may be mispronouncing his name, was a guide. And they had killed, I believe, an elk and were dressing it out. And two bears attacked him and his client as they were dressing out the elk. And Mark had a can of bear spray on him, but he'd left a Glock 20 pistol with an empty chamber in a pack. And the pack was closer to the client than to Mark. So when the bear attacked Mark, the client tried to access the Glock, and he was able to get it and get it out, but he's not having any familiarity with a Glock handgun. He couldn't get it to fire because there was no round in the chamber. So he tried to get it fired, and it wouldn't fire, and he's trying to figure out what control might be, a safety or something that is preventing it from fire, and he manages to release the magazine, and the magazine falls out of the handgun. And then he tries to, the bear comes after him, and he tries to throw the handgun to Mark, but it doesn't reach him. Mark isn't able to get at it. But Mark has bear spray, and sometime in this conflict, the client runs away to try to get help because he has no firearm that can work. He has no bear spray, but he does have a cell phone. He manages to get contact, but while he's doing that, Mark is able to access the bear spray he has, and he sprays the bears. Both of them had bear spray residue on it, from what I recall from the investigation, but he ends up dying. Now, nobody was there to record the exact sequence of events, but it seems to me that was, I would consider that a bear spray failure, but I wouldn't consider it a handgun failure because the handgun was never fired. So, but that's very rare.
Right.
We almost, this is the only one I can think of right off where a handgun was not fired. I've asked Tom Smith of the Smith and Herrero, you know, they're very famous for the studies they've done on efficacy of firearms in Alaska and efficacy of bear spray in Alaska. And I asked Tom if he could send me just the incidents they had of handgun failures. Because I said, well, I'm only short a couple, and I'd really like to include yours in our database. But Tom has cooperated with me on some issues in the past, and I appreciate that, but I wasn't able to get a response to that request. And that's another thing we do. We include links, or we explain where we got the data. We give an example. We give an explanation of what happened in the incident. A short explanation of this is the sequence of events and how things happened. And in the Smith and Herrero studies, they don't. You don't know what incidents they have included and what incidents they have not included. And so it's hard for an ordinary reader or another researcher to look at the incidents and say, well, yeah, that seems like it's reasonable to regard as a failure of a handgun or a firearm or bear spray. I mean, for example, we know that in the bear spray study they did, there was an incident where there were two young polar bears that approached a vehicle in which there were some, I think it was park personnel, but some official personnel of some kind. and the official personnel sprayed the younger polar bears with bear spray, and they went away. And they include that as a positive example of bear spray success. But also, and they say that in some incidents from the Defense of Light Zone property, if somebody shot at a bear from inside a building or a vehicle, that they didn't consider those to be incidents of successful uses of firearms, because the person inside the vehicle wasn't really at risk. So it's important to be able to look at specific incidents, you know, and it's a hallmark of scientific study that you make your data available,
right,
so that other people can see what the data was and try and duplicate your situation. Well, in the Smith and Herrero studies, they say, well, look, we were looking for cases where we believe the person was at risk, and if they weren't at risk, then it's not included. But we can't judge how they did their selection because we don't have any, we have very limited ideas of what the actually happened in the event. Now, later on, they found a polar bear fatality in North America, in Alaska, actually, where someone attempted to defend themselves with a firearm. And I know it's there because I talked to Tom Smith and I could see it. He sent me, showed it on the database, and then I was able to track down the original sources. And this was happened in 1883, I believe. It might have been 84, right around then. And what happened was that these people are out hunting, and they see three polar bears coming toward them. And there's two of the people are together, the person wrote up the incident, and then two Inuit. And one of the Inuit hunters is a good ways away, a couple hundred yards
away. Let me
get
you hold right there on the far away Inuit hunter, and this time we'll talk you out the right way, okay? With nearly 2,300 articles waiting for you at AmmoLand, this is what Dean does. These are the kind of things he talks about, the kind of stuff he brings to the forefront, which is really interesting because he's gone back in history, and this is something that will keep getting added to as we go along. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Fusing the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
For over 25 years, Arrow Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Arrow Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Arrow Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders. Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th, Arrow Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
Update. At Camp David right now, President Biden hosting the leaders of Japan and South Korea for talks about China.
Our countries are stronger and the world will be safer as we stand together.
Hurricane Hillary churning and is expected to hit Southern California. Storm prep underway in the San Diego area. To Maui now, where there's been a resignation related to the massive wildfire.
The top Maui emergency management official who didn't sound warning sirens as wildfires wildfire swept across the island, has resigned. He stepped down the day after defending his decision not to activate the sirens. He said he feared coastal residents would have fled inland toward the flames. I'm Corey Myers.
More than 1,000 residents and tourists still unaccounted for this Friday. And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit ShopSuperTea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is ShopSuperTea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Welcome back. Talking with Dean Weingarten, talking about bears. I like talking about bears with Dean. So we were at with the Inuit. There was a little bit away.
Yeah. So there were these three hunters. Two of them were together. And then one was at least a couple hundred yards away or more, out of the range of the people who were together. So it's 1883. Probably the two that were together, it appears, had cartridge arms. It's not clear just what they were, but it sounds like they're probably Winchester 44, 40 rifles. And then the lone Inuit, who was several hundred yards away, had a double-barrel muzzle-loading firearm, and we don't really know what it was loaded with. But there were three bears. There was a sow, polar bear, and a fairly large cub with her. And then separated was a large boar, polar bear. And so the two that were a little further out to sea, they were on the ice, had this these two polar bears approaching them, the sow and the big cub. And they came really close. Now, whether this is just luck or they managed to position themselves among the ice, and well, not perfectly flat, you know, there's bumps and pieces of ice sticking up, and they waited. And when the two, the sow and the cub, got very close to them, they didn't believe they were under attack, but they had the rifles, and they shot and killed the two bears. Now, several hundred yards away is this large boar, male polar bear, and it's getting close to this single individual, an Inuit hunter armed with a muzzle-loading double-barrel gun, and we don't know the loads. They speculated that one load was a ball, the other was shot, but I don't know. And anyway, the polar bear comes very close, and they're saying, why doesn't he shoot? Why doesn't he shoot? As they're watching, And then he does shoot, and it doesn't seem to faze the polar bear much, and then he shoots another shot, which they believe was probably shot, you know, fine shot, and that doesn't faze the polar bear, and the polar bear gets to him and kills the Inuit hunter, and they're too far away to do anything. But what strikes me as interesting is then the polar bear comes to them. So it's obviously on a route to attack them. They wait until that bear gets very close to them, and then they shoot it and they kill it. But in it's only scored as one fatality, as a failure of firearms, but I'm unable to know if it's scored as a successful defense with firearms when they killed the polar bear. It doesn't appear to be that way in the database, what little I was able to see of it. So this is why it's important to be able to know the incident, to know what actually happened. And unfortunately, we don't have access to the data that Herrero and Smith used when they did their study. And that's one of the reasons that I wanted to be certain in our look at defensive uses of handguns, that everybody could see the same data we were seeing. And, of course, you have to make some judgment. Is this a defensive situation? Most hunting situations are not defensive. If somebody goes out and shoots a bear from 100 yards away that's just sitting there, we don't consider that a defensive use. So you have to make some judgments. But the way that we've arranged things is you can go to links, and most of it is linked, and if there's not an actual link, like I've done interviews with a number of people who use handgun defensively, then we'll have a transcript or an explanation of what happened, and people can read that and see, is this reasonable? Is this an actual defense? And make up their own mind. But unfortunately, don't have that in the other studies that I see. And it's very difficult to collect data because these are not real common events, at least not that are reported. Now, another thing that happens that's interesting, I think, is the difference in the way different species of bears react. You have, in North America, you have three species of bears. You have the black bear, which is the most common. Then you have the grizzly slash brown bear. You have the Kodiak. The coastal grizzlies get much larger because they have access to a lot of food. And some people have called them Kodiak bears or brown bears, but they're really the same species as grizzly. They just get a lot more food. And then you have the polar bears, which are separate species that mostly live out on the ice and ocean and are considered a maritime mammal. And the most I would say the most aggressive of them, and maybe the most dangerous, are the grizzlies, because they often live where there's a lot of thick cover, and you might approach them and get pretty close to them without ever knowing they're there. And they sometimes just attack without any warning and without any real provocation. Not from human viewpoint anyway. And I think it's not really good to try to get inside the mind of a bear and say, well, the bear was only defending itself. I mean, that's why it ran 200 yards away from where it was holed up and attacked me. Well, bears, you know, we are not bears. So I don't look at it from a bear's perspective and try to say, was that bear thinking it was defending itself when it would not retreat from a human but instead attacked them? So grizzly bears are, I believe, the most dangerous because they're in terrain where you may not see them or even know you're close to them, and then they can just attack you without warning. That almost never happens with black bears, and almost never happens with polar bears. Now, with black bears, most of the attacks appear to be predatory. That is, the black bear has either become accustomed to humans where it doesn't fear them, or it's never encountered humans before, like out in the middle of the wilderness. And, you know, it's hungry and it's looking for food, and here's something moving that appears to be made of meat. And most of the time, those attacks are not just surprise, all-out charges. They're where the bear approaches this new prey that it's not real familiar with. It hasn't eaten a bunch of humans before and knows what to expect. And so it's kind of tentative, and they do what they call prey testing. They'll get close and see, does this critter have some way it's going to hurt me? Because if predators get hurt much, they don't survive.
Right.
Because they have to kill a lot of prey animals in order to survive. So only one prey animal has to significantly hurt a predator, and the predator is probably not going to survive, even if it kills and eats the prey animal. So predators have to be cautious about what prey they attack. And if they encounter a new kind of prey, they'll test it. And that's what we see with most of the black bear attacks. So you might see this bear getting closer to you and getting closer. And most people have seen a cat stalking a bird and they have this intense gaze and they're looking at it. And you'll see the same kind of behavior in these bears when they're acting in a predatory fashion. They'll try to get closer and closer, and they won't give up on it. You know, they don't go away.
Let me get you to hold up right there. This is good stuff. I love talking about bears with Dean, or listening. I don't talk about him. He's just telling me the story. And he can tell you the story, too. He's got nearly 2,300 articles at Amaland right now. Amaland.com. To find Dean's stuff, you would go to All Contributors and look for Dean. He's in the middle on the left-hand side, Dean Weingarten. And then go looking. Just go looking. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Cue the airport. sitting next to us. Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
And welcome back. This is the last time on the firing line. Speaking with Dean Weingarten, we've been talking about, bears. Bears and attacks of bears and defense of bears. So, please, sir, if you would, take us home.
Yes, I want. We've talked about the three species of bears, black bears on North American continent, grizzly bears, and polar bears. I said grizzlies appear to be the most dangerous because they'll often attack without warning from very short range and thick cover. And that's the hardest type of attack to defend against. Black bears, on the other hand, most of their attacks are predatory attacks where they're not used to killing people and eating them. So it's a new prey for them, so they will usually test the prey to see if it's dangerous or not. And by that, I mean they kind of close in on you, and you often will see them from some little distance, and it won't be an all-out charge, but rather they're getting closer and closer. And often what we see in these situations is they might even try to bite or nip you tentatively to see what your reaction will be. Because they're closing in and getting closer and closer, and if most people have seen a cat focusing on a bird as it gets closer and closer and has this intense stare and concentration at the bird, you'll see that kind of activity a lot of times with black bears. They're getting closer and they're staring at you and they're not dissuaded. You know, you yell at them or something, they retreat a little bit, and then they'll come back, and then they'll keep getting closer and closer. And that type of situation makes it fairly easy. Well, I don't know if it's exactly easy, but not too difficult to use a handgun in defense because they're closer and they're not moving real fast. And black bears, if they get hurt in that kind of situation, tend to run away. Not always. There's a couple of cases where they've continued to fight. I've seen that. But most of the time, once they're severely hurt, which means you don't have to just kill them instantly, you just have to get a good solid hit in them, they will usually retreat or run away because serious injury to a predator-prey relationship is deadly to the predator. They just can't keep on doing it because they have to kill a lot of prey. Now, the other bear is kind of in between the grizzly and the black bear, and that's the polar bear. Most polar bear attacks appear to me to be predatory. And a lot of times they're young males. They're having a hard time figuring out how to kill prey or to keep it from other bigger polar bears. That's often a problem with young males. They'll successfully kill a seal, and then another big mature polar bear will chase them away and eat the seal. So they get hungry. And they start to view humans as possible prey. And a lot of times you see the same kind of prey testing that you see with black bears. But on the other hand, because people don't normally have a lot of human habitation permanent in the Arctic regions, a lot of times they're in tents or in little sheds or small shacks or, you know, things that aren't as solid. And polar bears may smell food such as, you know, anything you're cooking or the humans themselves or the dogs and think of this as prey and then attempt to get in. And if you're in a tent in the Arctic and suddenly a polar bear shoves its head inside, you're in serious trouble because it only takes a little bit for that polar bear to grab you and start dragging you off. And those are what we see. So you're much more at risk of a kind of surprise attack. Although we've seen this in black bears too. There have been several instances where black bears grab people who are camping, either out in the open or in a tent. So it's good to have some type of a warning mechanism. Dogs work real well this way, usually. They will sense the polar bear or the black bear before other people and make a commotion and give you time to prepare your defenses. And the electrical fences that they use up in the Arctic or in grizzly territory, I think that works fairly well because it provides a layer of security where you can figure out what's happening before you're actually grabbed. And if you can figure out what's happening, if you understand the bear is interested in you as prey, and you have a handgun, you can usually respond well. And that's what we see. We've seen in the 170 there were three failures, and really if you look at those three failures, it's as much a failure of, I would say, the operator of the handgun as it is of the handgun. Now, the 22 against the polar bear, you know, it's just such a small caliber firearm that you have only a very small target that you have to hit, which is basically the brain in a polar bear.
Right.
To stop an attack. And they were aiming at the head, and they hit the head like four times, but none of the shots penetrated to the brain. And a lot of the problem is I'm not sure they knew where the brain was in the head, and it's not where a lot of people think. It's usually much lower. I mean, you can shoot right through the eye of any of the bear species if it's looking right at you, and you won't hit the brain. And if you're just a little bit above the line connecting the two eyes, you're not going to hit the brain either. The best place to shoot on a bear that's looking right at you is in the nose, and that'll guide your shot right up to the brain.
Right.
Or if it's standing on the hindquarters, you can often go from under the chin and through the roof of the mouth and into the brain. That's another relatively easy way. But so we have the 22 with the polar bear, and then the other two. It's pretty clear that the people were not, they really didn't want to kill the bear. You know, they were very careful about it. One was the .357 Magnum up in Alaska, and the person who fired the shots, a geologist, said he might have, nicked the bear, like just hit it on the outer periphery, and he wasn't at all sure, and then missed a couple of shots. It was pretty clear he never made a solid hit on the bear, or was even, it's just not clear he even really wanted to make a solid hit on the bear. And he was mauled, and the bear went away when it wanted to, not because of the pistol defense. And then the third was a .38 Special in New Mexico, and it's not at all clear that he ever shot at the bear to try and hit it. It's not at all clear he ever hit the bear with the .38 Special. It appears to have been a five-shot snub-nosed revolver because when I talked to the warden who investigated the incident, he said that the guy had put it in his pocket. So it probably wasn't even a four-inch revolver. And when the fellow talked about trying to defend with it. He extended at least one shot as a warning shot, but it sounds like there were more. And it doesn't appear that he ever hit the black bear, which was the sow that came after him when he climbed the tree and pulled him out of the tree. So he was wounded. He had puncture wounds in his foot, but then the bear had left, and it doesn't appear to be because he shot at it. So in all of those cases, I'm firmly, well, the last two anyway, if they had been committed to killing the bear to stop it from attacking them, there's a good chance they would have prevailed and either killed the bear or the bear would have been driven off with serious wounds. But it didn't happen. So those are the three failures. And against those three failures with handguns, we've got 143 other incidents where people used handguns effectively to stop bear attacks.
Well, we're going to stop.
That's a pretty good ratio.
Yeah, that is. And we're going to leave it at that note. You can find Dean's stuff at ammoland.com, where he's got nearly 2,300 articles. All various things. Everything in the gun culture. Politics, gear, sales figures. All these things that matter, that actually have some influence in the gun culture, are actually a result of the gun culture. He writes about them all. So check him out at Ammoland. I guess we'll talk to you on Tuesday. Yeah.
Very good. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Well, so the pleasure's always mine. I'm doing everything over here on this end, Dean, but taking notes when you start going into your oratory. Back again on Monday. Never been about gun control. Not once, not ever. It has been. It's always going to be about total control. This has been Lock and Load.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality-built American-made products for 45-plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
At MGS, we have what it takes to reinvent yourself. With a curriculum designed to balance work, family, and a gun repair education, MGS provides the gateway into one of the fastest-growing segments of the gun industry. Modern Gun School's mission is to provide high-quality distance education using time-tested materials and hands-on projects designed to develop a proficiency in both the technique and the business of gunsmithing. Go to mgs.edu. MGS Trade School. Your future is waiting.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.